You're listening to the PMO Strategies Podcast, where PMO leaders become impact drivers. This is episode 249. Today, I want to challenge the way we typically think about project failure. Failure often carries a negative connotation and is seen as something to avoid at all costs. Before we dive in, don't forget, make sure you are on the PMO Strategies newsletter and that you are opening my emails over the coming weeks, because I have some surprises that I'm only sharing with my newsletter subscribers on how to get access to the Impact Engine book months before you can get it in bookstores. Go to pmostrategies.com/news. That's pmostrategies.com/news. You'll get our free newsletter. You'll get an email from me every week. And in those emails, I'm going to be dropping some surprises, opportunities to work with me, and ways you can help us work together to change the world for the better and make a bigger impact in your organization. More soon, but only if you're on the newsletter. I'll see you there. But what if some failure is actually essential to an organization's growth and learning? First, let's consider how allowing failure can encourage the right level of risk-taking and innovation. We work with organizations of all shapes and sizes, and many of them are in fast-paced, competitive industries, where playing it safe often means that they're falling behind. So companies must learn to take calculated risks on new initiatives with unknown outcomes if they want to stay ahead of the curve, even when they don't have all the information they need up front to be sure if this bet they're making is going to achieve the outcomes they intend. Now, I was just talking to my favorite CEO that you'll read about in the upcoming book, The Impact Engine, and we were talking about how sometimes it can be difficult to hold your leadership team accountable for certain strategic initiatives they're responsible for when the organization really is placing bets and not guaranteed that they're going to be successful with every initiative they take on. So how do you support the learning and innovative process and support your leaders in taking that initiative when you don't have all your I's dotted and T's crossed, as we like to say here in the U.S.? You're not always going to have that information, and all of you in this role of impact driver, PMO leader, strategy delivery leader, you're in a unique position to help shift the culture so that no matter what industry you're in, the right level of project failure is encouraged and supported so that you can help the organization achieve its overall business goals, the outcomes it's looking for, and elevating and accelerating the impact that that strategy you're delivering can actually make. Not every moonshot project is going to be successful, and that's okay. Without risk, there can be no breakthrough innovation. So you want to look for places where you can foster a culture that allows for some failure. Employees are going to feel psychological safety to experiment with cutting-edge ideas if you create that safe space for failure. This kind of innovation and risk-taking can allow for project teams to quickly test and validate assumptions without the finger-pointing or the blame if things don't work exactly as expected. And by using an approach like this, it leads to bolder innovation, faster progress, better business outcomes, accelerated results, and that is crucial for organizations that are looking to lead their market, but not just the game-changing, leading or bleeding-edge companies that we sometimes work with, where they might have a separate innovation department or product group that is more in like of a lab kind of format. We see this a lot with clients that are in younger, more innovative, faster-paced industries and operating models, but it's not just for them. That CEO is talking about works in a nonprofit professional association, and they still have to figure out how to continue to innovate and allow space for projects that may not achieve the intended business goals and supporting a leadership team that has to take those risks. So what are you doing to support from a PMO project management perspective, this risk-taking and innovative approach to projects and allowing the space for failure in a way that actually helps to drive the better business outcomes? Because project failure provides really powerful feedback into the continuous improvement process. And that's something that you should have your eye on, continuous improvement and how to help the organization iterate their way to impact. Every failed project has valuable lessons learned. Are you doing them? Are you documenting them? Are you actually incorporating those lessons learned back into the project process? Those lessons can inform future success if you're actually capturing them correctly. So you want to make sure that you're doing post-project reviews, or in the case of project failure, maybe you call it a post-mortem. I would only call it that if it was a failure. But even then, I don't know, that's just kind of creepy to me. I like to say post-project reviews because even if it is a failure, it doesn't mean that it's a failure from a business perspective. It means that we've learned lessons that we can use to help inform the future decisions that we need to make. But those post-project reviews on successful initiatives and the unsuccessful ones can reveal technical flaws and other challenges with the process, like how resources were allocated, the going in assumptions, the business case, the success criteria, so many different points. But it also sheds light on any cultural dynamics, poor planning assumptions, any biases that were happening in the decision making, not having the right skills within the teams. And that's all extremely valuable input that helps make the case for the challenges that you have in trying to get the right resources, funding, support, and focus and prioritization on the projects that are currently underway and the ones that the organization wants to take on. For example, I once worked with a software development team that was building a new product that they were putting in the marketplace. Now, despite a lot of good intentions, when they pulled us in, that product had failed to gain the traction they were expecting in the user base after launch. But instead of viewing that as a complete failure, we showed them how to have the team conduct a thorough project review process and post-project evaluation. And in that process, they discovered that they had made some incorrect assumptions about what users actually cared about. And they'd overlooked or deprioritized key features that their competitors were bringing to the marketplace. And that's why they couldn't gain any traction. So that information and being armed with those insights, the team was able to pivot their approach and incorporate user feedback into the next project they did, which was an awesome success. The result was a much more successful software solution that addressed the real needs of their customers, and they gained a really loyal following. And that experience taught them the value of embracing failure as a learning opportunity. So one of the things I want you to think about is anytime there is a project failure, change the language to focus on it as a project opportunity for future projects, because it is an opportunity to learn and adapt and iterate to get to a better business outcome for the next project that you do. Just changing how you talk about it can change the level of engagement you can get from your stakeholders in participating in that post-review process and inform better decision-making for future projects. You can remind them, now remember what we learned from this one. Let's make sure to do that differently, and let's have some really good conversation about what that might look like. Having that powerful level of feedback puts you in the driver's seat with your leaders because you're the ones that are navigating the strategy for them, and it leads to the corrections that improve the outcomes across the people, the processes, the technology, and just the culture and the way people shift and adapt as needed to incorporate those learnings into future projects. But if there were never any experiences with some level of project failure, the organization that you work in will never take the time to unearth these insights and continue operating with these underlying flaws. Now, of course, this requires people to be honest about whether projects are succeeding or failing, and you don't even know if they succeeded or failed simply by looking at time, scope, and budget. On time, on scope, on budget are not indicators of project success. They're indicators of project progress. Project success is measured by the success criteria from the business case, saying what the business outcomes are and what success looks like, and then going back and measuring that after the project is over, which is something only a group like a PMO or a strategy delivery office can do, because project team members and project managers are often off to the next project in project land. Now, another aspect of failure that you want to be thinking about is when promising looking projects get canceled or deprioritized midstream because the business needs change. Now, this redirection of resources is actually a huge positive, so you want to make sure that you are talking about it in that way. So many times we go into organizations and we look at their portfolio of projects, and many of the business leaders didn't even realize how many projects were actually going on. I cannot tell you the number of times that I've seen the look on faces when they realize how many projects are actually happening in the organization because nobody's shown them that picture before. And usually we can tell them, cut about half of these. Oh, but wait, you don't have them prioritized, so you don't know what to cut in half? Okay, prioritize your projects first. Then we need to probably just go and cut the bottom half, at least for now, so that we can get these other projects done. So you can lead an exercise where you go in and you help them see all the work that's happening. You help them go through the prioritization process, like we teach our Impact Engine system students in our program. And then once they've done that, you can clearly see what projects should be done, how to stagger them and organize them and resource them so that they can actually get done. That means canceling, deprioritizing, or pausing other projects. That's not a failure. That is a positive strategic move that you, as the strategy navigator, should be driving. This is what the best PMOs are doing across industries and what we go in and do with our consulting practice for organizations all over the world. The best PMOs are continually evaluating whether initiatives are still in alignment with short and long-term business goals and that the strategy is still going to be delivered through these projects. If not, then they have to swiftly recommend canceling or pausing projects, prioritizing like we've talked about, and stop doing the things that don't make strategic sense. That frees up funding and talent for the higher priority, higher return on investment initiatives that are going to help the organization achieve its goals. And if the yeah, but monster has crawled up on your shoulder and started to tell you, yeah, but we don't control that. Yeah, but we don't own that. I'm just going to say to you, I'm sorry, but are you an impact driver or an order taker? Because if you want a seat at the table, this is what you have to do. You have to show executives what they aren't realizing about what they're doing to actually slow down the ability for the organization to achieve its business goals. That's your job. And until I get the second book written, I don't know. I'm not even sure if I can do that or not. But I will create content to help you send to your executive saying, here's why what you're doing isn't working. I promise that will come after we get the Impact Engine book launched. The next thing will be providing you with those resources, whether it's a podcast or written content, or maybe even, if I'm totally crazy, another book to help you make the case to your executives about the things they're doing to damage their ability to deliver on the strategy. But in the meantime, that's your role, is helping them understand the things they're doing to prevent their success. So you need to be looking for places where you can help guide that conversation, give them the transparency into the challenges they're having, and help them see what must be done, what decisions must be made in order for them to actually achieve their strategic goals. That's the job. So you can tell that yeah, but monster to get out of here, because if you want a seat at the table, this is the path to do it. Now, in my previous role as a PMO leader years ago, we had a project that was aimed to develop a new product line. And halfway through the project, the market conditions shifted pretty significantly. And a competitor launched a similar product with more advanced features than our company had considered. So after careful evaluation, we went to the executive team and said, listen, this is where we are. This is where the industry is. Because we were clear on the business case and the success criteria, we were able to say, we will not be able to be competitive with this project and it's not going to give the expected ROI. So we had to work together to make the difficult decision to cancel that project and redirect those resources to more promising initiatives. And although in the moment, it was a little dramatic and felt like an emotional failure for the leadership team, this strategic chess move allowed us to focus on projects that had a much higher likelihood of success and were actually better aligned with the long-term goals of the organization. The only way we could do that is because my team understood what the strategic objectives were and what we had to accomplish. It was a super valuable lesson in being adaptive and nimble and flexible, and from our perspective, facilitating that tough decision-making for the greater good of the organization. And this did take a little bit of therapy with the executives in order to help them see why this was the best move. But once they saw it, they agreed. We were able to reallocate resources because we were able to show them the changes in the resource allocation, the higher return on investment for other projects, the faster we'd get them to market. And then we knocked it out of the park and they were so happy later. Of course, those executives were all running around patting themselves on the back for the brilliant idea to change. And that was okay with us because we knew that we were the heroes that were moving those chess pieces to help make sure that what needed to happen for the better of the business as a whole was actually what happened. And everybody wins. That's also another really great way to get your seat at the table is to be the one that they're counting on to help them with that decision-making process. Now, from a business perspective, this responsiveness demonstrates actually an healthy organization that has strategic clarity, not an inability to follow through. You have to help drive that follow through decision making and nimble way of approaching the priorities for the organization. Priorities will shift. Market changes will happen. Unknown events will occur. So how do you help lead your organization through that decision making process when all that happens? With another one of our clients, I asked about how this executive balances risk versus success. Now, this executive I talked to was responsible for like the long-term horizon exploration and being 3 to 5 years out in the thinking about what was happening in the industry and how their organization was going to respond to it. And she told me, I don't spend a minute worrying about failed experiments. I need to know what we learned that informs our understanding of future opportunities. This was really cool. She said, failure is only when we don't have the insights to make better investments going forward. You see that shift in the way you think about failure as a whole? Her comments perfectly illustrated that seasoned executives, which is where you want to be, judge success based on strategic learning, not just project completion rates. Remember, on time, on scope, on budget, or even just project completion and checking the box is not the goal. So this is an important mindset shift for PMO leaders to embrace that is super important to help you position yourself for a leadership seat at the table. You want them pulling that chair out for you. And the way to do that is to be helping them think differently, better, and elevate the way they think about projects and success and failure of those projects. Now, of course, I'm not advocating for all projects to fail outright, but being pragmatic about it, you need to realize that across a balanced portfolio, some failures must happen to take the risks needed to move the needle for the organization. Not all swings will result in home runs, as we like to say in our family. The key is guiding projects to fail well and fail quickly if possible, containing budgets and timing, harvesting the learnings from the project review process, and reassigning teams quickly and smoothly to the higher priority initiatives. That is the hallmark of a future-ready, strategically positioned PMO, an impact engine, as we call it, enabling intelligent failure toward the bigger wins. You want to fail forward to the next success. So before we wrap up, I just want to give you these 4 tips to be thinking about as you consider your role in supporting healthy project failure in your organization. First, allowing some failure encourages risk-taking, which is essential for innovation, not just for the bleeding-edge companies, but for all organizations from government to nonprofit to privately held to publicly traded, all companies across industries around the world need to know how to fail in a good way and a healthy way so that they can fail forward into their next success. Number two, failed initiatives provide powerful feedback for continuous improvement. So you want to be conducting those post-project reviews and evaluations, not just when the project's done, but later, 6 months later, a year later, to evaluate whether or not you're setting this organization up for success by supporting a good business case process that clearly articulates the business goals, success criteria, and why the project is being done in the first place from a business perspective. That helps you stay aligned with the business goals and keeping everyone in alignment with what success looks like. Number three, canceling projects strategically allows you to redeploy funds and resources toward higher value efforts and greater impact overall. So you want to be able to free up resources to be able to put on those higher priority projects. And if you're not prioritizing, as I said, that's a really great place to start. Give them a list of all the projects. Show them the hundreds of projects they have going on in their organization. And you will be able to start the conversation with, we do not have the physical capacity or focus to address hundreds of projects at one time. So everything is crawling and failing in a bad way, not a healthy learning way. And then number four, judging success by business value, created return on investment, real impact, redefines failure more accurately. Business success overall is the goal, not just individual project success. So take those lessons learned, use it to fail faster, fail forward into your next success, and that will help you get that chair pulled out for you at the leadership table in supporting the organization in achieving its strategic goals. I hope this gives you some food for thought on how your PMO can embrace some level of failure and how you can use that to your strategic advantage to help move the organization forward. Thank you so much for being here today. I am so excited about the upcoming book, The Impact Engine. Make sure you are on our newsletter, pmostrategies.com/news, to hear the progress with the book, get a sneak peek into the book, and so much more for my newsletter subscribers. And if you are loving what you are hearing in these episodes, make sure you go to your favorite podcast player, hit the subscribe button, and download these episodes so they are with you no matter where your high impact journey takes you. I am beyond excited for what is to come in the future episodes this year as we unleash the Impact Engine book to the world. Bye-bye for now.